We are going to be celebrating a lot today about who we are as a church, what we did this last year, where we're going in this next year. And that's what we're going to do for the first few minutes, is kind of show you what we accomplished with last year's Heart for the House offering. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you a passage from the book of Joshua in Joshua chapter 4. The Israelites had just come out of the wilderness wandering for 40 years, and they're about to step into the promised land, and Joshua is the new leader, and he is confident. He was one of the ones 40 years earlier that said, let's go and defeat those giants. So they're excited to get into the promised land, and right before they fully go into it, though, they run into an obstacle, and it's the Jordan River. And it's during flood season, and just like the stories they had heard about their parents and grandparents crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, Joshua believed in God again for them to walk across the Jordan River on dry ground. So God told them to do a few things, and they did, and it involved 12 huge stones. And sure enough, the Jordan River parted. They walked across on dry ground, but before they kept going, Joshua told all of the people, we're going to stop and we're going to build a memorial. We're going to build a memorial with those 12 stones, because one day when our children and grandchildren come by here, we want them to remember that this is the place we crossed over on dry ground. Because if there was one thing Joshua knew, it was the fact that the people of God often forget the great wonders of God that he did for them. We forget. And he said, we're not going to forget this time. That we're going to build this monument, and people, when they walk by, our children and grandchildren are going to remember. And it says exactly that in Joshua 4, 21 through 22. It says, then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is the place where the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. We've been in a series the last 3 weeks called This Must Be the Place. And we've been talking about how special this place is, how special the church is. It's not about a building, but it's about the people that gather. And wherever the people gather, there's something special about that place. And because we gather here every Sunday, because we gather here all through the week in our youth services and young adults and small groups, there's something special about this place. And what I think is awesome about today with Heart for the House, last year in the Heart for the House offering, if I'm being super honest, when we set out all the endeavors going into 2021, I had big faith. I believed that God could do it. But if I'm being honest, there was this thought in the back of my mind that said, this seems pretty impossible. What I am most excited about today, standing on the stage, is having the ability to tell you that everything we set out to do last year, everything we set out to do for 2021 financially, we accomplished as a church. Everything, everything. And one of those things that I'll start talking about, one of those things is our brand new adult special needs classroom, adult special needs chapel. And actually right now during the 10 o'clock service is the very first church service going on right now with our adult special needs. Why is that happening right now? Because of your generosity, because of your generosity. A few years ago in our Heart for the House offering, we were raising money to build out our brand new Little Citizens kids area. If you're new to the church, that's a very new area, only a couple years old for our preschool and younger age. And when we were building that out for the Heart for the House offering, one of the parts of that was we wanted to build out a children's special needs space called Citizen Buddies. Some of you are familiar with that, but what's really cool is that room has done so much more than we could have ever imagined. We are absolutely a church that 100% values anyone with special needs, whether they're a child or an adult. We believe every single person has the utmost purpose and destiny on their lives and deserve dignity at the utmost, every single person. And we've been hearing stories about this room and about the volunteers and the impact that our emphasis on special needs has made. And so there was a family that we got into conversations with, amazing leaders in our church, that started sharing a story about their daughter with Citizen Buddies and how much they are looking forward to one day, even our adult special needs space, ministering to their daughter. And so I want you guys to take a look at this video today, because it really highlights the life change your generosity can make.
Hi, my name is Nathaniel. This is my wife, Aubrey. We met in middle school. I started walking down the hallway one day and I told my best friend, who turned out to be my future best man, that I'm going to marry that girl one day.
And we married 8 years this year. Yeah, so we've been coming here since July of 2019. We grew up with a lot of people that actually came to this church, and we knew a lot of people that came here, so it kind of just worked out that we started attending here.
Harper was born in March of 2017, one of the best days of my life. But unfortunately, 3 days after she was born, I had to go back to Korea, where I was there for her first 9 months.
She was not even a year old, and I noticed that she was a little bit different from other kids. She had two cousins growing up with her around that time too, and I noticed like she was not doing the same things that they were doing.
And then I got back. We moved on our own because I was back home. We were stationed somewhere else. And we just had conversations the night. We were noticing that, like Aubrey said, she was just a little bit behind her peers with crawling, and then it turned into walking, and she was behind her peers. And when she was walking, her peers were talking and she was still not talking. So we were praying about it. We talked about it, and then it just eventually led us to go see a specialist. One day we were going to church on a Sunday, like an early Sunday, and Harper was having a hard time. After church, when we picked her up, they actually moved her from the two-year-old room to a new room they just opened up called Citizen Buddies. And Citizen Buddies is a special classroom designed for kids of all ages with special needs and different abilities.
At that point, Harper, has still been attending therapy. She goes to speech, occupational, and physical therapy, and we were still in the process of getting her evaluated for possibly having autism. So that's why she had came to the buddies room, because we thought that she was on the spectrum.
So Citizen Buddies has been, I would say, a pivotal part in Harper's journey. When she comes to church, she just owns the place. Like, as a parent, your biggest fear when you drop off your kids are they're gonna be taken care of. And in a big church like Citizen, there's hundreds of people, volunteers, but Citizen Buddies, everyone who works there knows Harper. They know her needs. And just like any other kid with special needs, they adapt to her and everyone else in the buddies room. When I drop her off, or when I go serve, stay a long time, I know that she is taken care of and she is loved and she is treated with respect and dignity. Seeing Harper grow up every year and knowing that the buddies is there for her, and as she gets older, just seeing her be able to develop and grow with God as she gets older in her room makes me really excited that the church is planning to open up an adult special needs room. And it just makes me happy that when Harper is 20 and 30 and 40 years old, that she'll always have a place in church made for her.
This is the first church that, we grew up in church, and this was the first church that we've been to that has a room specifically for kids with special needs. And I don't think a lot of people realize that, and they might be timid to come to church because they don't know where their kid might fit in. And with the buddies room, like, they don't have to be scared, and they know that their kids are gonna be well taken care of and loved and protected.
When I watched that video for the first time, it got me. And I immediately called Mandy and said, of all of the huge things our church has done, since we've been the pastors and the big celebration moments, when I got done watching that video, I put down my phone and I thought, this is the most proud in this moment I've ever been as the pastor. I'm so proud that we have a kids ministry and a church and people and volunteers that give so much of their time, that give generously with their finances to make stories like this possible. Can we give all of our volunteers and kids ministry leaders a huge round of applause? So a year ago, we stood on the stage and cast the vision for four endeavors, and we're going to highlight those for the next couple minutes. One of those is our special needs, adult special needs classroom, and our very first church service is happening in there right now. Another thing that we are opening up that is active and open right now is a brand new family live stream room. And so one of the things that we used to have a long time ago that we've brought back is some families, wherever their kids are at with age and even behavior stuff or concern, are not ready to put their kids in childcare, and we still want to create a space for families who aren't ready for that. So we do have a state-of-the-art family live stream room. As you leave the auditorium, there's a brand new entrance out those doors on this side of the atrium. It's an amazing room. We'll have Dream Team hosts in there taking care of you, but it's an area where you do not have to stress about your kids being kids, and whenever you are ready for childcare, for our kids ministries, that's available, but we also wanted to create space for unique circumstances like that.
Yeah, for sure. Another space that we were able to build out is our Dream Team Central. And really, this church has always been built on volunteers. I mean, we could not be functioning today if it wasn't for volunteers. We have a small staff, but a big vision. Mm-hmm. So we always have leaned on volunteers. And so our heart is to take care of volunteers and make sure that they feel valued and honored because we're in this together, right? So we built this space out called Dream Team Central. And every single weekend when they come in to serve, they have breakfast provided. And it's just such a strong place of community.
Yeah.
And it feels like family when you're in there. I mean, it's just like a big family breakfast. I don't know. It's a great time, a place to put your stuff, and it's an incredible space. We did that, and then we also were able to build out our online studio. And this has been such an amazing tool for ministry and evangelism over the past year. We saw a great need for this during the pandemic. I mean, we needed great equipment and everything to reach an online community. But even after that was over, we realized there was a large group of people who were not able to be here in person, but desperately wanted to be ministered to and needed a church family. And so we have used that room to do just that. And so what's wild is the reach has gone further than we ever could imagine. 44 states we are reaching, which is incredible. Over a dozen countries. We have people who are watching weekly from over a dozen countries. I'm going to read just a few of them because it's wild, actually. Japan, we have people watching from England, the Ukraine, the Philippines, the Netherlands, and India. Isn't that incredible? From Albuquerque, New Mexico. Reaching people all over the world, thousands of people watching, and it's been incredible. I was talking to a young couple last week in the atrium, and they were saying that they were just recently faced with a really, really horrible, hopeless diagnosis for the spouse, for the husband. And the wife was telling me a few weeks ago, they were wanting to come to church that morning, woke up, and he was just so sick with a terminal illness, and they were just broken. And so she was just like frustrated they couldn't be at church. They turned on YouTube to watch YouTube Live, and Dustin was actually preaching that weekend about suffering and the certainty of God. And as they sat there on their couch, she said, "We just wept the entire time." And the Holy Spirit began to just minister to them and speak to their lives and say, you can have hope and everything is going to be okay. And God is with you in the midst of your pain. And that's what that ministry is all about, really, is just meeting people where they are in their homes when they're not able to be here. It's been powerful. So can we give God praise for what he's done through the online studio? It's been a great tool.
We've heard so many cool stories. And with us being so close to Kirtland Air Force Base, there have been people in the military that have been stationed overseas, and their spouses have come up to us saying, "This has been my husband or wife's lifeline since they've been overseas, and they're watching stationed in Germany or the Middle East." And all of this, guys, that's what's so cool about church is Everything is made possible by your generosity. So the ministry that you're seeing, it's not our win, it's our win. You guys are investing into the kingdom of God, and lives are changing here and forever. Also, last year, in our Heart for the House campaign, we launched our anchor project, which was Union City Church. And a couple years ago, our then youth and young adult pastors, Brandon and Delaney Woodward, came to us and our leadership team and our board, and really felt like God was calling them to start to plant a church in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is not, as you can imagine, an easy place to start a church. There are much easier places to start a church, but they felt like God had called them there, and we believe so too. And so we rallied around them as a church and made Union City Church our anchor project for Heart for the House. We were audacious in our faith and cast the vision of, could we raise enough money to launch, start, and sustain a brand new church in Washington, D.C. What is amazing is, like I said, I stood on the stage and cast that vision a year ago. 1 year later, Union City Church launched on September 12th, and exactly 1 year later now, it is a growing, thriving church where people are getting saved, discipled, plugged in, they're serving, and it is absolutely making a difference in the District of Columbia. So Brandon and Delaney made a video, and they sent it to us, and we want to give you an update on how Union City Church is doing.
Hey, Citizen Church, Brandon and Delaney here, and we just wanted to give you guys some updates as to everything God has been doing in DC through Union City Church in the last 10 months. You know, it's 14 months ago now, which is crazy to me. 14 months ago, we stood up on the stage and were able to cast the vision for the church that we felt that God had put in our heart, a church in Washington, D.C. that was going to be planted out of Citizen Church. And it's been incredible. 10 months ago, the end of January of 2021, we packed up a giant U-Haul truck, all of our things, sold so many of our things, and drove across the country to start this new life and this new endeavor.
When we arrived in DC at the end of January, we really just started to hit the ground running. We began connecting with everyone that we could, meeting so many different incredible people. There were actually about 30 people who moved from Albuquerque to DC to help us launch this church, some of the most incredible, faith-filled individuals. And alongside them, we began to build what we called our launch team. And over the course of the next several months, we built our launch team to just under 100 incredible people who were all in with the vision of Union City Church and ready to reach the nation's capital for the hope of Jesus Christ. Over the course of our launch season, we had two different serve days where we came together as a team and served our city. Really, our heart was just to show DC that we're not in this to build another church service, but we're actually in this to build a church. We really feel called to be a missional presence in the heart of our city, and it's been so beautiful to watch God doing that ever since.
Then on September 12th, we had our launch Sunday at Union City Church, and it was an incredible day that we're never gonna forget. And God moved on that Sunday and just began something that ever since we've just seen the Spirit of God continue to move, continuing to bring new people in our doors. Our community is growing every single week. We're able to launch small groups just a few weeks into the start of our church. And so our community has been thriving. People have been getting to know one another. We also just had our first official serve day, not in pre-launch season, but after launch. And we had 80 people show up, and we put together 375 Thanksgiving meals for the DC community. And, you know, we've always said this, that we don't want to just make a dent in the District of Columbia, but we want to make a difference in the district. And so it's just been incredible to see how God is raising people up, and God is motivating people and encouraging them to live outside of themselves and to live for others and to live for one another.
Since launching, we have seen over 100 people go through our Pathway class, which is our onboarding class to serving on serve team, getting involved with small groups, and just learning more about the heart and vision of our church. And it's been incredible to see the amount of people who are interested in taking that next step of involvement with Union City Church. And we've just been so proud to see our teams and our community really begin to grow and flourish.
And the reality for us is this, without you, and what God is currently doing right now, we could not do without you. And so last November, there was a Heart for the House offering where you guys, the church, our home church, you gave, and you gave sacrificially. And this has been just a catalyst for us to get us to DC and to get started. And not to mention others of you who have given additionally to that, who have been praying for us, who have been calling us and checking in on us and messaging us on social media. I cannot tell you how encouraging every text message is. Every message we get, honestly, it lifts our spirits. And so we just want to say we love you guys, and really everything that God is doing and everything that God is going to do in Washington, D.C., you own a big part of that. And so we're forever for your prayers, your generosity, and just for being a family to us all. Thank you from D.C., and thank you from Union City Church.
I can't emphasize this enough. This is so cool. That church exists because you gave in last year's Heart for the House offering. Give yourselves a huge round of applause. You guys are like, no, I'm humble. It's okay. You can do it. It's so cool. We were there on the launch Sunday and just seeing what God is doing. I talk to Brandon almost every week, getting updates, what's happening and people getting saved and discipled. And God is opening up some really, really, really cool doors. So today, where are we going with all this? Where are we going in 2022? What are we setting out to accomplish this year? You know, we call this Heart for the House Sunday because, like we've been talking about the last few weeks, at the end of the service today, we will take a Heart for the House offering. Heart for the House. What is the house? In the Old and New Testament, the house of God, in the Old Testament was the temple where God's presence dwelled. In the New Testament, it's also used, that word, the house, and it's where God's presence dwells among his people. We now house the presence of God, and when we gather, there the presence of God is. And I've been talking about in this series, like I mentioned earlier, in this series, this must be the place, that there is something special about this place. There is. And we have some huge endeavors that we are setting out to do in 2022. And just like last year, this year I'm standing on the stage, and over the last few weeks we've been letting you know what these endeavors are, but it's a big deal. But we have to go back to the basics and understand that it's a good thing and it's a godly thing to have a heart for the house of God, to be passionate about the house of God, to love the house of God. Listen to a few things King David said in the Psalms. Psalm 26:8 says, "I love your house, O God, the place where your glory dwells." Psalm 84:10, "For a day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be the one who opens the door of the house of my God than to live in the tents of the sinful." Psalm 122:1, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Old and New Testament, it is a command in Scripture to have a heart for the house. Specifically, the church. Yes, this is Citizen Church, and I would love for you to have a heart for this specific house. But the command in Scripture is to believe in the power of the church, the power of an organization, the only organization and institution that Jesus Christ himself began, and no man can ever stop. It's the church of Jesus Christ, the house of God, where his people gather, his spirit is, and it is his place. It is our place, and there's something special about this place. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been asking you to pray about your heart for the house offering. And I've been very specific and looked straight at you and said, hey, if you call Citizen Church home, I'm asking you to do something. I'm not going to tell you what to give. I'm not going to tell you an amount to give. But what I'm asking everyone who calls this church home is to dig deep. And I've been asking to pray and to ask God, what are we going to give? Because the beauty of Scripture and what it says about our heart for generosity is when we do our best, God takes that and does the rest. I absolutely believe today and have the faith that what we're setting out to do this next year can happen. But I also logically can look at you and say, it feels a little impossible. But I feel like that every year. It feels a little impossible, but with God, all things are. All things are possible. There's a story in the New Testament that I love and I've read a lot of times. But stories, I want to encourage you with this. Stories in the Bible that you've heard a lot of times or read a lot of times, the next time you go back, just say a simple prayer before you read that story or passage. Say, God, show me something new in this today. Let this story refresh my spirit in a new way, fresh way. There's a story of the feeding of the 5,000, and I'm gonna, in a second, read the John chapter 6 version of this, but in the feeding of the 5,000, it's a famous story. Jesus and his disciples are on a ministry tour, and they are exhausted. They're exhausted. Have you ever been exhausted to a point to where even your kids or coworkers or people that work for you, whatever it might be, you are exhausted to the point where you're thinking, if one more person asks me for something, I'm going to die. Anybody been there before? All the moms are like, yes, I have been there before. So that's kind of where Jesus and the disciples were at, if I'm being super honest at this point. I mean, they're going on almost 2 days without eating. They are exhausted. They're just pouring themselves out to people, and they're honestly gotten a boat to go across the other side of the Sea of Galilee to get away from people and to get a little bit of a break. But the Sea of Galilee is so small, as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, people could see them, and the crowd started gathering and met them on the other side. And so as they're getting off the boat, again, you can imagine, just if we're being real, the disciples were real human beings. When they got to the other side, they were probably looking at each other going, I don't want to do ministry anymore. I am all poured out. I'm done. These people can go minister to themselves, you know, kind of thing. But they get off the boat, and Jesus reminds them what they're there for. And you can imagine him saying, just sit back and watch what I'm about to do. So one of the first things the disciples notice after a long day of ministry as it gets towards the end of the day is the people are hungry. And if there's one thing you know as a pastor, on services that get close to lunchtime, you cannot go long because people get antsy and angry, right? And so they're doing ministry, and the crowd's getting antsy and the crowd's getting angry. And the Bible says there were 500 men, but that was just the men. Most scholars believe there could have been upwards towards 15 to 17,000 people there that day that they're ministering to, and they're all hungry. And one of the disciples comes up to Jesus and says, we have a huge problem. These people are hungry, and it would take over a year's wages to even give each of them a bite. What are we supposed to do, Jesus? Isn't it interesting? They did this and we still do this. We will look back in our past and see things that Jesus has done that seemed impossible, and he did them. But the next thing that seems impossible, we go to Jesus and say, it's impossible. And that's what the disciples did. Jesus, we have an impossible situation. And you can imagine Jesus with this little grin and might have asked the question, why do you keep coming to me saying things are impossible? Do you know who you're talking to? So he asks them to go see what they can find. And one of the disciples comes back with a boy. And this boy has a lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And it also, this is a leadership lesson on the side, but it also kind of shows us that the disciples did not try to find food. One boy had lunch out of 15,000 people. You know, like when you're telling somebody to do something, one of your kids, like, hey, go look for your shoes in your room. And they go in there, like 2 seconds, they turn back around and go, I couldn't find them. And then you go in, they're sitting there. That's kind of what the disciples did. Oh, this is all we could find, Jesus. And they bring the boy, and he has his 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they again present another problem. You told us to go find what we could find, and this is it, Jesus. How are we supposed to feed everybody with this? And then Jesus does something. This boy gives up his lunch. I think sometimes we put all of the attention on the disciples and all the attention on Jesus, and we should put the attention on Jesus. But what about the little boy? There's a little boy who's like, that's my food. And I'm giving it up. I'm giving up what I need in hopes that Jesus is who he says he is to replenish what I need and to give everybody else what they need. The little boy was not forced to give up his lunch. That's not who Jesus is. He had to offer it, to offer that sacrifice. But he gave what he could, and then Jesus stepped in to do what he could not do. Starting in verse 7 of John 6, I'm going to read you the story. Philip answers, someone would have to work almost a year to buy enough bread for each person to have only a little piece. Another one of his followers, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, here's a boy with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 little fish, but this is not enough for so many people. Jesus said, tell the people to sit down. There was plenty of grass there, and about 5,000 men sat down there. Then Jesus took the loaves of bread, thanked God for them, and gave them to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, giving as much as the people wanted. When they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his followers, "Gather the leftover pieces of fish and bread so that nothing is wasted." So they gathered up all of the pieces and filled 12 baskets with pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves. Now you've probably heard that story, right? But with all the leftover pieces and everybody eating, you go back to that little boy. And this is what I want to remind us of. That little boy is us today. There's a miracle that has to be done. There is a large vision that's put in front of us. And we have the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is what is so interesting. The boy just gave what he had. And Jesus gave everyone what they needed. That is the premise of biblical generosity. When we give what we have, everyone gets what they need. It's a really simple but profound truth. We've been celebrating a lot of what Citizen Church has accomplished. And we've accomplished a lot this year, and for years we have. But you want to know what's so astonishing? And I've said this before when I've preached on tithing. Everything that we do is made possible by just over 10% of the people who attend our church giving. Just over 10%. Between 11 and 12% of the people who call Citizen Church home faithfully give. Can you imagine what a church could do if 100% of people gave? And when you imagine that, all of a sudden, you look at the principle of giving in Scripture and you think, well, maybe that is the solution to transforming cities. Because if one church can do all of this off of 11% of people giving, what could all of the churches do with 100% of people giving? Now, that's the principle of the tithe. But today, the heart for the house offering is just the principle of generosity. But it's still the same. We give what we can, and Jesus will step in to do what we cannot. This entire series leading up to this day, I've asked you to pray again about what that sacrifice is for you and your family, to talk about it, pray about it. And today at the end of this message, we are going to give in an offering. If you're not prepared today, or maybe you haven't been here in a few weeks, we are obviously, you can give over the next couple weeks. But I'm asking everyone, if you call this church your home, I'm gonna be, can I be super just like straight with you guys today? Can I be that? All right, 5 of you said yes, so I'm going for it. I'm asking you as your pastor to give. I'm not begging, I'm asking. Because God is in charge of all of this, and he can do whatever at any time. But this is what's so awesome about God, is he chooses to partner with you. That's what's awesome. He chooses to partner with you in his sovereignty. So again, not an amount I'm gonna throw out to you, but I'm gonna ask you to do something. Because what we know is that when we step out and do something with obedience, God will take it, transform it, and multiply. Can you imagine that day as Jesus was multiplying the bread and the fish? What did that look like? You ever think about those kinds of details in a story? He's got a table up there, you know, like what does it look like? Is the bread just, he breaks it and all of a sudden it goes into 2 pieces, 4 pieces, 8 pieces, 16 pieces. How is it multiplying? I mean, I would be freaking out if I'm watching this. I would be running everywhere going, look at this dude. Like, what's happening? Or is he like reaching into a basket? How is he multiplying fish? Like, that's weird and potentially gross. You know, like, what's happening? But when the boy gave it, the moment it was in Jesus's hands, it transformed and it started multiplying. And that's what I'm asking us to do today, is to be the little boy that just puts our offering into the hands of God and let him do what only he can do. What are we setting out to do this year? Over the last 3 weeks, I've laid out 3 different endeavors, but there's one brand new one today that we're going to let you know of and pray for. There's a staff member of ours, when he was a teenager, went on a trip to Haiti. And many of you know, we partner with an organization in Haiti called Healing Haiti. When he was 16 years old, he went to Haiti and felt like God called him to do something there. When he came on staff just a couple years ago, he actually let us know, I feel a calling to missions and I love Haiti. And he's actually been the staff member overseeing those trips. The trip he went on this last year, he came back and met with Mandy and I, and with tears in his eyes, felt strongly and said, I feel like God has called me to be a full-time missionary, to live full-time in Haiti, and to be a part of Healing Haiti. And sometimes when people look at you and say, God said, I'll be honest, sometimes I could look back and go, did he? You know, kind of thing, you know. When Matthew said that to us, I knew it. Matthew Kowalski, if you would come up here, Matt, give him a huge hand as he comes. One of the things we're giving to this year is out of our church, we are going to sponsor his full entire first year. We are going to support him as a church, as a full-time missionary in Haiti. And I am so excited for you to partner with us in our Heart for the House offering. Yeah, you can clap for that again. So what we want to do is pray for you, pray over you, and just believe the best is absolutely to come. There's unrest right now in Haiti. It's been put on a little bit of pause, but what's so amazing is you have not hesitated. You know that's where you're supposed to be, and we are honored, honored, honored to be your church and your family forever and support you. If you would stretch out your hands toward Matthew, I want to pray over him today. Father, we thank you so much for Matthew, his obedience, his faith, his strength, and his call. God, I pray that you would be with him, strengthen him. God, I pray that generosity would flow today in this offering as we commit to sponsoring his entire first year of being a full-time missionary in Haiti, a country that desperately needs you and the power of your transformation for physical renewal and spiritual renewal in that country, Father. Use him to impact hundreds and thousands of people. Bless him, protect him, keep him safe, give him strength. May all his needs be met. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, man. Love you so much. And as a reminder, this is what we're giving to. Ready? I'm going to go through this fast. You guys ready? The first week we talked about a church network that we're launching. Coming out of the pandemic, there was a study done. 34% of senior pastors said that they had seriously considered quitting full-time ministry during the pandemic. Church attendance is at an all-time low around the country and around the world. Churches are struggling financially, they're struggling with resources, and pastors are struggling with mental health. We have decided we're going to start a church network this spring that is going to be primarily for the first year funded by Heart for the House to resource churches that are not citizen church. We want to extend beyond these walls and to help other houses of worship that don't have resources, don't have help, and don't have other people to call. We want to partner with pastors and give hope when they feel hopeless. So we're starting a brand new church network in February. The other thing we're giving to is our anchor project. We're going to finish and completely remodel our youth auditorium. One of our core values here is we give our best to the next generation. We want to remodel the 10,000 square foot space to your right and my left on the other side of our main restrooms. It seats about 400 people, and we want to make it completely state of the art to where every time a teenager walks into that auditorium, they will know consciously or subconsciously, this church gives us their best. We believe in Generation Z. We believe that they are the greatest generation to ever walk planet Earth, and we believe that there is going to be a revival that comes out of this generation, and we're going to give our best to them. And then last week, I talked about the Spread the Word campaign. We believe that God is doing something special here at our church, and we want everybody to know about it. We preach hope. We preach purpose. We preach Jesus and him dying on the cross and resurrecting. We preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to spread the word around our community about what God is doing here. So we're launching a brand new 2022 marketing campaign for Citizen Church and all the ministries of Citizen Church and what we're doing locally and globally. Guys, this Heart for the House this year going into 2022 is big, but I've got big faith because we serve a big God. So what we're about to do is take our Heart for the House offering. And if you're new and you've never experienced this before, it's fun and it's exciting. So I was a youth pastor for a long time, so I'm used to teenagers just being up for anything and being excited about anything. Can you guys just be up for anything and excited about anything today? Okay, so what we're gonna do in a second, we're gonna sing a final song and I'm gonna have you stand. And what we actually do is there's red baskets or there's big buckets and baskets down here at the front. And what we do is we actually come down and drop our offering in one of these buckets. So you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I already gave online. I'm not prepared to give. I don't really know about this right now. I got an answer for you. Take the red envelope, and if you have a physical offering today, put it in there. If you've already given online, write the amount that you've given and that you already gave online. And if you're not prepared to give today, you can even write on the envelope, I'm praying about what to give. And so what we're asking you to do is we're asking everyone to participate in this that calls Citizen Church their home. And so a volunteer will be in front of your section as we start giving, and they'll direct you. But all you need to know is when you're ready, you'll just exit to your left, wherever your left is, and they'll direct you at the front. Why don't you guys all go ahead and stand? And every year we actually have our kids lead the way. And what I'm gonna ask is no one leave, service isn't done. And when we're done giving, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna pray over the offering that God blesses every person that gave. Are you guys excited to give today? All right, let's give.
Thank you.
image of all of us coming forward, and so many people just bought in and sacrificially giving, and what a beautiful sight it is today. So what we're going to do, we want to pray over this offering that God would just multiply it and use it for his glory, for his kingdom. So would you do me a favor and just stretch your hand forward to this offering? We believe that this is a God moment. Dustin's going to pray over that. Will you join us in prayer?
We've been fasting as a staff for a month for you and your businesses, and believing for your blessing as well. So as we pray, I'm going to pray over you as well. Father, we thank you so much for this offering. And God, I want you right now, Father, to see every person in this room, the sacrifice and the generosity. And God, we are believing and we have faith for businesses, for families, for their finances. God, that you would multiply, transform, and do things that seem impossible. God, we believe that 2022, and we have faith, and we ask that 2022 will be a year many business owners, many people in their jobs when it comes to raises and opportunities will look back to this moment, this offering, this moment of sacrifice, this moment of obedience, and say that was the catalyst for transformation and blessing. God, we do pray for our church. We pray for these endeavors. We pray for our ministries, for our kids' ministry and youth ministry, Father. God, we pray as we set out into 2022 that everything we set out to do, just like this last year, we pray and we ask that it will be done. We have the faith for it. God, we pray that you multiply this offering today like you did that boy's lunch, Father. We brought what we have. Now you step in and do what we cannot do and provide what we need. Father, we believe in building your church. We believe that you are building your church. We believe the best days are to come and that 2022 will be the greatest year in the history of Citizen Church. We thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.